Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this on a Wednesday night. The Kings on the second night of a back-to-back, trying to show some consistency. They're shorthanded tonight. No Kevin Huerter, no Trey Lyles. How are they going to respond as Keegan Murray made his return to the lineup? Well, they responded in a big-time way, taking out the brooms and sweeping the Lakers in four games this season. And the defense stepped up yet again. Sacramento with another complete performance on the second night of a back-to-back. They're now a season best, 11 games above 500. They won 5 of 7 after beating the Lakers tonight, 120-107. This podcast is presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing,
You
Mo?
Already know. You already know. You already know. I love this style of basketball. It is so fun to watch. I mean, obviously, like, let's put the fandom in there. And it's like beating the Lakers, number one. Hell yes, always a good effing time. But beating them the right way with good basketball on both sides of the floor. Yes, please, and thank you on a Wednesday night, baby. Let's go.
There is so much good from this game tonight.
Yes.
We can talk about Sabonis versus AD. Sabonis now 10-0 against Anthony Davis all time. Sabonis had a monster triple-double. We could talk about the performance from Keegan Murray, a big double-double. HB hitting 7 of 11 from downtown tonight. Keon Ellis with another impressive start. Where do we start? Where does Morgan Reagan want to start following this Kings win 120-107?
Why not just start with Harrison Barnes? And I say that because I go, that's someone that I think even in some of these games, like last game when he was dropping, 16 points and, you know, being in that starting unit and contributing. And then tonight, like, it was big. And I think sometimes people shy away from that because they go, oh, okay, we got that now, but is this going to be consistent? But at other times, like, what has been super consistent this season? And when he is going to have a big night and shoot like this, you start with Harrison Barnes.
Harrison Barnes at 23 points, 8 of 15 shooting, 7-11 from 3. 6 of those 3s came in the second half. Yeah, LeBron was not contesting him at times.
Nope.
And HB said, are you serious? I've been a 40% three-point shooter in my career. I'm going to knock him down. And the Kings moved the ball well again tonight. They did a great job with their spray threes that Mike Brown just loves, you know, getting into the paint, spraying out, getting the ball moving around. And HB knocked him down.
That's,
you know,
what
you
was
get
happening.
Good looks, take them. If LeBron James isn't going to guard you, fine. Take the threes. HB made him pay.
And it was just, it's just something that, like, Mike Brown in this offense has been wanting to see, those spray threes. But seeing those spray threes being executed, right? And that's the ball going through the hoop. And Harrison Barnes being the person that was making that happen tonight, and he wasn't the only one making that happen, but just starting with him, giving him the love that he deserves. I love that he was able to play 39 minutes of impactful minutes out there.
The Kings hit 19 of 41 from beyond the arc, 7 of 11 for Harrison Barnes, 5 of 10 for Keegan Murray. Keon Ellis got in the act too. And Chris Duarte played a few minutes, hit a couple of threes when he played in that first half. That was good. We'll talk more about the offense. You know the thing I want to talk about first? The defense.
Well, then why did you ask me?
I asked your thought first, and now I'm going to mine. Is
okay.
That
okay? I thought you said, where do you want to start?
The defense for the second consecutive night. They're bringing it. And that's all we've asked for is, like, can you see some of the defensive effort we see from this team on the road where they're 12th, 13th in defensive rating on the road? Can we see that at home where they've been 29th in defensive rating? And these last two games, they've been disciplined. And I got to be honest, I think in large part, Keon Ellis has helped change things for Sacramento. I know De'Aaron Fox can guard. He has shown that this year. Getting Keegan Murray back tonight was big for that because of what he can do defensively. Sabonis works his ass off. So many people talk about the Kings needing, they need a rim protector. They need length. I think they need length for sure long term. But you know what they need? They need more people who can just stay in front of their man. They need guys that could put pressure on the ball, that could play the passing lanes, be physical. Keon Ellis did it again tonight. Keon Ellis now in the starting lineup for the second consecutive night. He was in place of Kevin Huerter, who has a right leg contusion, so he missed the game. Keon gets a start. What's he do? He just makes shit happen. He had 8 deflections in this game. 8 deflections and 3 steals. Since he has been back in the rotation since that Minnesota game, the only game he didn't play, which Mike Brown should be kicking himself for, is that the Chicago game. But in these 6 games, he now leads the team in deflections during that span and steals during that span. That's impressive stuff. And he's not playing. Tonight, he ended up playing 28 minutes. Keon Ellis is now late in the season going, Mike Brown, you got to play me.
Yeah. And I think, you said, let's talk about the defense, but you're exactly right. Like, talking about Keon Ellis is talking about this Kings defense and it being so impactful these last 2 nights as a complete defense at times on the floor. And you look at all of his numbers. Like, I was looking at some of his numbers through those now 6 starts. He's 6-0 in his starts with the Sacramento Kings this season. And it was like his points were going up, averaging 5 points per game and almost 4 assists per game. And then you look at his 3-point percentage and it was like bad. And it's like, yeah, because at that point, his role was still so different even in those starts, right?
Such a small sample size, too.
And that as well. You know, all those things can contribute to why that was happening. But you're seeing with more opportunity and maybe more empowerment kind of behind that opportunity of being like, no, you're more than just this role player. You're more than just this defender. I need you to not be a liability on the offensive end. I need you to contribute where you can and just be disciplined within our free-flowing style that we like to play. And I feel like the way that he plays defense has allowed him to play that same style on the offensive end, whether it's pushing the ball in transition, whether it's just moving without the basketball, finding a way to be open from 3, looking for others, getting those paint touches. He's just done a fantastic job on both ends.
And he was throwing on D'Angelo Russell to start. Oh. We've seen D'Angelo Russell cook the Kings over the years. Tonight, D'Angelo Russell scored 6 points on 2 of 9 shooting, 1 of 4 from 3. Those 6 points, the fewest he's ever scored against the Sacramento Kings, courtesy of our guy, Will Z. Mm-mm-mm. Morgan, I saw him do the same thing last week when the Kings were in Los Angeles when he got thrown in there on D'Angelo Russell, contesting his shots, just in him, physical, navigating screens well. Keon Ellis' defense is for real. And I know some people, I had someone in our Discord today go, yeah, but are we overhyping this? Do we have our purple colored glasses on? I'm like, no, this isn't like a guy that's like coming out in the first few games he's starting and knocking down shots. And you're like, is he really one of the best shooters? Defense translates, and this guy is chasing around everybody. He's switching well. He takes contact. Yes. The guy is an impact defender.
And by the way, great question to ask, especially when it's like all you're consuming is Kings basketball at times. But it's important, like we say, is to be fair and make sure that you're seeing past those things and trusting your eyes when you are seeing the good. And I remember with Keon Ellis playing the G, how many times did I say, like, I know he's doing what he's doing in the G League, and then we'd see those few opportunities. I was like, I don't think his game will translate into the NBA as much as we want it to. And all it was that was needed was more opportunity. And maybe that was more opportunity with the big squad, the Sacramento Kings, and then more opportunity with NBA minutes. And whether it was in garbage time and he actually proved himself out there and then earned the time to be out there with the starters and showed, oh yeah, no, I am an NBA player. I have arrived. Like, trust what you're seeing with Keon Ellis, with this team and in this role. Impactful is the best way to put it.
And for this guy to be doing this right now, when you are pushing, right? You're fighting and clawing to try to get out of this play-in race that's super tight. You got some separation on the Lakers and Warriors now, but Dallas is right in the mix. Yeah. Phoenix is right there. The Kings are currently in six tonight. But we know how fast this changes in the league. This guy could help change the Kings' season, right? And now Mike Brown's got an interesting challenge ahead of him. What do you do here?
Oh, God.
And Kevin Huerter's out right now. I don't know, is Kevin Huerter going to be good to go against the Knicks coming up? Who knows? I think Mike's got to seriously consider putting him in the starting lineup. I think he gives so much energy to the starting lineup. And that doesn't mean you don't play Kevin Huerter. Kevin Huerter can be impactful coming off your bench. He could still play a significant role because of his spacing, his playmaking. But Kevin has been inconsistent this year. Keon.
Yeah.
Now 6-0 in starts. You can't deny that, okay? We can't deny the 6-0 in starts. And you notice him out there. You have had a problem as a team being consistent defensively. We know this, not only for the last 2 years, the last 20. Now you have a guy that's got good size, who is doing things that the Kings have lacked. And I think it brings the best out of Fox. I think Fox is playing even better defense during the stretch. You throw Davion out there too at times. It's nasty when the Kings go, all right, hey, you're on D'Lo. Keon, you need a breather. Davion, you're on D'Lo. Now you've got multiple guards that are able to defend out there.
Well, and now that they're able to produce something on the offensive end, right? Yep. And some teams don't have a lot, whether they don't have film on them on the offensive end, you know, enough or enough respect for them on the offensive end, you're going to see those lapses. Maybe not if it was the postseason, but at the same time, how many times have we seen guys come under the screen on Davion Mitchell and then you say, okay, I can shoot this shit now. So like, what are you going to do? I completely with you. When you have those guys that can get up into others, and especially when it's like a star player that might draw a lot of fouls, right? And so then you have to go next guy up and it's not a huge drop off. And that's why when you do talk about Kevin Huerter, there's somebody on my NBC call talking about that this morning before going into the show. And he had mentioned that about like, you know, is this time that Keon Ellis is going to get the start over Kevin Huerter, like going forward, even before tonight's game. And I'm like, no, that's not going to happen this late in the year. I think if anything, it will be short leash for Kevin Huerter. Game by game, and maybe it's a little bit prisoner of the moment right now, but it does feel like, well, I mean, why wouldn't you, especially when Kevin Huerter is a good player and could absolutely make an impact off the bench as well.
And the other thing, too, is, I mean, it's something you have lacked, and it's seemingly helping your offense. Now, shots are falling right now for Sacramento, but when they're able to get stops, create turnovers, and get out and go, look at the third quarter is a great example. The Kings didn't score 30 in that quarter. They scored 28, but they outscored the Lakers 28-17 in the quarter. It was kind of a low-scoring quarter for stretches, but the Kings turned it on. The Lakers had 6 turnovers in that third quarter, 5 King steals in that third quarter.
Yes.
8 deflections is an absurd number. Fox has reached that a few times this year. Fox is near the top of the NBA in deflections per game, right up there with SGA. He's very active defensively. But the fact that Keon Ellis has 8 deflections in the game, he plays under 30 minutes and has 3 steals, shows you the activity out there.
He's efficient. He's efficient with his activity. He, you know, like he makes things, like we keep using the word impactful, but like making things happen only allows other players to also do their job. Yep. It's contagious at times as well.
Big time stuff from Keon Ellis tonight. He ends up playing 28 minutes, 14 points for him. He also had 2 rebounds, 3 steals, 5 of 8 shooting, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, too. So he's knocking down the 3. He was really strong for Sacramento. Just awesome stuff. Sabonis against AD, Morgan Reagan. It's been the talking point. I'll be honest. It got a little noisy this week. The amount of stuff last week I saw, oh, man, AD's 0-9 against Sabonis. He was asked about it today at shoot around by the LA media, and you're going, oh no. It feels like maybe this could be a night that the Lakers are going to come out angry. You know, James Worthy's on their post game show the other night last week saying it was the worst Lakers loss of the season when Sacramento went there and beat him after being down 19 in the first. And then you're hearing all this talk about Sabonis being undefeated, Sabonis dominating AD. I was a little concerned with that and it being on the second night of a back-to-back. Sabonis did it again. This guy is a beast. And I'm so glad that this was a nationally televised game on ESPN. Yeah, it was aired locally with Morgan Reagan, Mike B on pre and post. Shout out NBC Sports California. But sometimes you need some national eyeballs. You need some others to watch you. Maybe some of the analysts who don't pay attention. Maybe some of the casuals who don't lock into what the Kings are doing. Sabonis abused Anthony Davis tonight. He destroyed Anthony Davis tonight. He was physical. He was the footwork in the post. He was going at him strong. He had that one play where he just got super physical. They didn't call it. AD sold the contact, flopped or whatever. Sabonis was just all snarling like prime Chris Webber back in the day. And then you got Kendrick Perkins tweeting out after the game. That is just flat out disrespectful at this point, what Sabonis is doing to AD. At some point, you got to fight back. God bless America. Sabonis with a triple-double. The guy had 17 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists. Yes, coming into this game, he was averaging 19, 17, and 8 against the Lakers. He follows it up with another triple-double. This guy is absurd. AD on the night, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 7 of 18 shooting. Sabonis was 6 of 10. The guy was a beast and a half. He did it on the offensive glass with 5 offensive rebounds, 14 defensive rebounds, 2 steals. That was clapping. What jumped out to you about Domantas Sabonis tonight?
I think it's just how powerful he is at times. And I keep mentioning this over and over to people. I've seen people at coffee shops. I've seen people at games. And I say the same thing. I go, did you ever read that piece with Sam Amick, the 101 with The Athletic? And he talks about how he's been really working on his body, cutting out carbs. You go, okay, cool. But understanding how strong he needs to be because he's an undersized center. And understanding and being aware of your weaknesses or challenges or flaws, however you want to define them, and actually doing something about it and actually executing what some of those challenges might be. It's incredible. And I feel like in games like this, you really get to see it because Anthony Davis, by the way, like how many times are we talking about him in his season? And especially in this season where he was playing red hot before the All-Star break, right? And that's why he became even an All-Star and everyone's like, what the hell? And it's like, well, you can't deny his numbers and what he's doing in the NBA. There's nights out there where you're just like, I get it. I get why we talk about Anthony Davis. And then there's nights like this when, or even last week when he really didn't show up, where at least tonight he produced for his team, but it's got to be the Sabonis factor. There's something about having a strong big go up against Anthony Davis that just truly slows him down.
Anthony Davis against the T-Wolves the other night was an absolute freak. Did you see his numbers against the Minnesota T-Wolves the other night?
No.
Oh my God, I'm going to pull them up right now.
Okay.
And they beat Minnesota.
Yeah.
He had 27 points, 25 rebounds, 7 steals, and 3 blocks.
Beast.
Along with 5 assists.
Against one of the best defensive teams in the league, by the way. What?
I said right.
No, I was just saying. Oh, okay. I was dramatic effect. What?
And they won that game. It's amazing how Sabonis has worked a guy that is known as being one of the best defenders in the league. It's been really impressive. And I also love this. Look, so they're going to give you that shot, Sabonis. They're going to give you the mid-range shot. You got to take it. He did take it a couple of times tonight.
He did.
Bucket.
He did. No. And that, I just feel like his confidence is there. He understands what he needs to do to dominate, whether it's on the boards, on the defensive end, being that anchor, being that guy. And there's at times, you know, we talk about how we wish a leader on the team would do this or be more vocal here or do this. And it's like, he's doing everything he can through his play. So jump on his back, follow his lead.
Now
he'll take you to victory.
We should note this with AD's monster game. That was a game that Kat's obviously out and Rudy Gobert was out of that game too. Naz Reid got the start. So they were undersized that night.
I didn't know Gobert was out.
27, 25, and 7. I mean, I don't care who's in, who's out. That's just a pure beastly, dominating performance by AD. And he's had big moments before. We've seen him win the NBA Finals before, right? Like, he's had some massive moments. So it's just, it's fascinating that Sabonis has had the success this year. The 10-0 thing, it's like a more of a social media thing. We can all poke fun at it, whatever. I'm just talking about this year. I'm talking about what we have seen when the Kings have played the Lakers. And that has been the Kings out-rebound them. They get more second chance points. They get out and push. They did not win the points in the paint battle tonight, but they were so effective getting in the paint and spraying. The Lakers, I think, maybe overcompensated a little bit with the fact that last game, the Kings were in L.A. They scored 76 points in the paint. They were just getting destroyed. Well, Sacramento was doing such a great job spraying out and getting great looks from three and knocking them down. When you hit 19 threes, who cares about points in the paint? The Lakers held the Kings to 38 points in the paint. The Lakers only had 46.
Yep.
And that's a big number to me, and that just speaks volumes to how the Kings defended. I thought they put up walls a lot, did a great job on consecutive nights, dealing with the challenges that come with someone like LeBron and Giannis.
Oh,
like, these guys are going to get theirs. They're so physical. LeBron had a couple nasty jams when HB got hung up on screens tonight. And LeBron still had his numbers, right?
He was one assist 18, away from a triple-double.
But when you can look at the end of the night, you go, how efficient was he? Guy could, you can give me the raw numbers. The guy was 6 of 16.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't get into double digits until late in the game.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, Kings were doing a good job on him, you know, and then when he started going off, of course things can get scary. But I felt like the Kings is something that we keep wanting out of these games. Pedal to the metal, kept their foot on the gas pedal. And that it's, you gotta give so much love to it, especially when it's something we haven't seen consistently out of this year. And so I'm super excited to see it in back-to-back games.
And I think that's one point that I want to focus on a little bit here is this stretch where, you know, we saw that Bulls game, right? You lose a 22-point lead, whatever it was. It just feels like they all blur together now. And then that Rockets stretch where it's like, dude, you guys allow so many big runs. Tonight.
Oh, yes.
The Lakers go on an 8-0 run. And I was concerned a bit because you're like, how are the Kings going to respond here? This is still tight enough. This was in the fourth quarter, okay? LeBron had back-to-back jams to make it 93-81 when he got back in the game. So now,
deflating.
Dude, it's a 12-point game with 9:45.
Yep.
It's a game. It's a game. Then Austin Reeves hits another three. Austin Reeves, seven threes tonight, by the way. After that three, it's 93-84. And you're like, okay.
Here we go.
9-point game, and are you going to be able to respond? They responded. They responded in a massive way. HB comes, knocks down a three. They hit another three, and they respond with their own 6-0 run. And then it felt like, oh, they got control of it. The Kings have to understand, like, yeah, teams are going to go on runs. You're going to see 8-0 runs. You're going to see 10-2 runs. They can't balloon. You have to respond. The Kings responded tonight. They took a little hit, and they hit threes. Yeah. And they go on a run of their own.
Dude, and that's where everyone was contributing even in that way. You know, Chris Duarte came in and knocked down two threes. We already talked about Harrison Barnes, seven threes. It just felt like last night against the Bucks, everyone was making their shots, and I'm like, that can't happen again, right? That can't. Like, that's hard to do. And they did it in back-to-back games. Like, they didn't have the tired legs. They had the energy. They had the mentality. They had the confidence. And they had their guys coming off the bench knocking down threes. They had their starters knocking down threes. Keegan Murray missed the game before and knocked down five threes. Yeah, it was just great all around from everyone.
That's exciting.
Stopping the bleeding and doing all of that with the runs. Yes.
And I mentioned, I know HB got hung up on a couple of screens, but HB gets shit on a lot for his defense. I thought he battled tonight.
He
had to deal with LeBron, and LeBron was 6 of 16. LeBron still was able to get his at times. HB also had to, like, switch on the AD. They would hunt that matchup sometimes where, like, Sabonis would have to switch on to LeBron, and all of a sudden HB's on AD. You got a battle there. He played physical. I thought Harrison Barnes had just a good game. We mentioned the shooting, but also defensively tonight. The Kings as a team had another good defensive game. This group's ceiling is probably average defensively.
Yeah.
Maybe slightly above average if Keon Ellis continues to play the way he does.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When how many times, and you see this around the league, if your defensive effort as a team and the defensive scheme or style is understood by every single individual on the roster, and they're physically capable of doing most of these things, fundamental things, right? Closing out the right way on hot shooters, closing out the right way on guys that aren't the best shooters.
Keon had some great closeouts again tonight.
Exactly. Being hands in the passing lanes. You have a smart team. I feel like this high IQ on both ends of the floor. It's about putting it now on the floor, on the defensive end, in a good team defense. And this team has shown what they can do in a team defense when everyone is locked in, when everyone's communicating, talking, trusting one another. That trust just goes such a long way.
The Lakers average 117 points a game. They were held to 107 in this one tonight. Appreciate everyone hanging out with us tonight. We see so many people here. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe, because all it does is help our channel grow. Finally surpassed 15,000 subs. Shout out to Geeky Nana. She's a member for 14 straight months. Donates $5 saying, felt like a playoff game tonight. Silly Sil donated $20. What? I'm a big fan of Keon starting. Great compliment to Fox. Maybe Herter thrives with Monk off the bench. I'm not opposed to it. I'm really not opposed to it. And the other thing, too, that's challenging for Mike Brown at this time, Davion Mitchell's been playing really well. Davion's out there being decisive, and you're not looking at him at the stats, you're going, well, he scored 17 tonight. You know what he's doing, though? There was a play tonight where it looked like he was going to settle for three. He slowed it down. He's dribbling. And then he turned on the Jets with a tough finish at the rim. And I'm like, that's what I love. Then his ability lately, he's been decisive, attacking the paint and spraying. And he's more confident shooting the three right now. Davion's playing some good basketball.
Yeah.
So it's encouraging at this moment, right, where the Kings have, with all this shit going on that we've complained about, feeling so low after some of these games. After these back-to-back wins, they've won 5 of 7 games now. And this is where you have to start getting hot. And you got the Knicks coming up. You got the Grizzlies after that. You got a road trip, too. It's not going to be easy down the stretch by any means, but it's encouraging that you're seeing some guys that maybe were out of the picture for stretches this season. Davion, Keon, they're contributing right now.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in a big way.
Yeah. And it's focusing on what's ahead, right? Not to focus on what's going on around the league. And what's going on around the league when you see guys in the West getting hurt, big names getting hurt, teams ahead of you in the Western Conference. Control what you can control. And you cannot be losing any more of these games, especially any of these games against teams below 500. And when you show what you're capable of against some of these better teams in the league that are mostly healthy. I know there was no Chris Middleton yesterday with the Milwaukee Bucks. You still got Damon Giannis. And then you go tonight.
Well, you were missing a starter last night, too, in Keegan Murray.
Were missing a starter with Keegan Murray, and you know the impact that he's made on this
tonight,
year. And
then tonight, Trey Lyles not playing. I was concerned when you went, Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles aren't going tonight, and Keegan, I doubt he's 100%.
Yeah.
How's that going to look on the second night of a back-to-back?
Yeah, no, and that's exactly it. Making sure you had enough legs out there, enough people pushing, and I just think De'Aaron Fox, you wouldn't have known it was the second night of a back-to-back, and that is what it should look like at times, and especially that it's this late in the season and it did feel like that tonight. Just a great all-around effort.
The guy we haven't spent much time talking about is Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan coming back after spraining his ankle against the Rockets, knocking down shots. Love that, obviously. It's good to see him getting some rhythm, but, you know, I just love his defense. I'm one of the people that I don't get worried about his offense. I think he's going to be fine long term.
Yeah.
I trust that his shot's going to drop. Tonight, Keegan had 19 points, but the thing that made me most excited and what he's been doing such a better job lately is rebounding. Mm. 11 rebounds in this game.
Yes.
He had 3 offensive rebounds in this game. One of the offensive rebounds frustrated me. He was underneath the basket, and then he tried to force it to Sabonis. It was a turnover. It was a stretch of the game where I'm like, it was, I think, early third quarter. The Lakers had like 4 turnovers. early in that quarter, and the Kings scored 2 points off of him because just some indecisiveness. Keegan had an indecisive play there where he made a mistake. Keon hesitated, got called for a walk. He was overthinking LeBron on a 2-on-1 break. But my point is, Keegan's rebounding has been outstanding, and he's not. It's not just like coming to him. He's going after them now, right? He's getting some physical rebounds. Love seeing that from Keegan
Murray. He's understanding where he needs to be on the floor, too, and the timing of reaching up for a rebounding, understanding his wingspan, his length, and really doing something with it, making it effective when he is diving in there for a rebound. It takes a different type of person to be able to just, like, really be smart about how you're going to rebound a basketball. I mean, there was even a time Davion Mitchell was like, I'm going back to the fundamentals. And what did he do? He put a body on AD, pushed him the hell out of the paint with the box out. And AD was still able to reach over him. And I think at times, like back in the day, that would have been an over the back. But it's like AD is so long that it's like he's barely touching Davion at that moment in time. But I just felt like that effort alone of just the thought process for Keegan Murray was there all throughout the night.
Keegan had 19 points, 11 rebounds. He was 7 of 13 shooting, Morgan. He was also 5 of 10 from three-point land in this game. So
yes.
Good to see Keegan back. And, you know, after missing a game, the guy played 38 minutes tonight and played some fantastic defense. The guy's going to be a really good player. So good to have him back. And, you know, the Kings right now fighting through some guys being banged up. Lyles, Herter. Mentioned Keegan. Sasha's still out. Monk tonight, when he got tangled up with AD on that weird play, I didn't understand. It looked like he hurt his neck.
Yeah.
He leaves the game, and you're going, oh, shit, what's this going to be? You can't afford to lose this guy. He ends up coming back in the game, which was great. He was off tonight, which, another thing, you were able to win a game when Monk wasn't himself. He had 8 points, but he still found a way to have 6 assists in this game. So we mentioned Monk. And then Sabonis banged knees at one point.
Oh, my God.
Like, guys are fine through it.
Yeah, and guys are being physical out there, and fighting through the physicality is something else, right? It's making sure that you're not looking for the foul, and, in fact, you're just trying to make the basket first.
Let's get to another super chat. OG Owens donates $10. Thank you so much. Who do we want in the playoffs, Kings fans? Oh, man. Look, you still got to get there first, right? But I think here's my take on that. I don't care. Bring on anybody. The one team I probably don't want to face in the first round, the Nuggets, right?
And that's not going to happen.
The Denver Nuggets, they're a championship caliber team. The Pelicans, look.
I don't want that.
I can't wait to see the Kings play the Pelicans again in the regular season. They've got one more matchup. The Pelicans had been on an amazing run, and they got absolutely blitzed tonight at home. The Cavs got them pretty bad. Cavs are up by like 30 at one point, I think. I don't know what the final score was, but
that's
got them
good to see.
But no, I mean, I don't want to back down to the Pelicans. Bring on that matchup. The Pelicans, as talented as they are, and they have owned the Kings this year. Owned them.
If you're a Lakers fan, you wouldn't want to see the Kings right now in the postseason, right?
I
think there's something about, like, the matchup.
It's been bad. It's been bad this year.
Bad is an understatement. No,
I got you. It's been bad.
Like, but their basketball's been so ugly.
My point, though, is the Pelicans don't scare me like the Nuggets scare me.
I would rather take on the Nuggets. I think it's
bullshit.
It's a weird matchup nightmare. Oh, yeah.
You're scared of... You would rather face Jokic in a 7-game series, the best player in the goddamn planet.
Not with confidence, but like with the style of basketball that we watched, the Kings take on the Nuggets. Now, almost unhealthy every single game except that last against the Nuggets, right? And then the Kings take on the Pelicans. I mean, do they have some, like, curse, magic power? Like, Morgan, they suck all their basketball skills out of them? Like, what is it against the Pelicans? And whatever it is, I don't want to see that shit again. And if I had to see that in a postseason, yeah, put me up against the Nuggets.
You know what?
Uh-uh.
Mark it down, March 13th. I'm not going to be scared of them. I'm concerned. I'm not scared of them. By the way, we should mention this.
What?
The Kings do play New Orleans one more time.
Yeah.
It's a game on TNT Thursday, April 11th. That game will be played in Sacramento. Who knows what things look like then? So well, I don't know.
That could give me confidence.
The West is all over the place. I'm not going to be jumping for joy to take on the Pelicans, but I'm also like, the Kings have to be better than that, right? Can they be better than that?
They haven't been in four matchups.
2002, Morgan. Let's go take a walk back to 2002. No. The Kings won 60-plus games that year. And in the regular season, the Mavs smacked them around. I believe won 3 out of 4. And everyone going into that playoff series, Kings-Mavs, was telling the Mavs are going to win. Mavs are going to win. Mavs this, Mavs that. Kings spanked. You know what the Kings did? They said Dirk Nash.
You know what I will say?
Clap that ass in five.
They did not say that in 2002. But what I will say is postseason basketball, such a different style of basketball. So, yes. Okay. They're right there. That shift.
Thank you.
Gives me a little bit of like, okay.
Good question, though. There's still a long way to go. I mean, you got to get to the playoffs first. So, Morgan Reagan, I did want to get to this. Mike Brown was asked tonight after the game on whether or not to start Keon Ellis moving forward. You ready for this?
Yeah.
James Hamm put this out, and here's how it went down after the game.
There's a lot that goes into it. It comes down to feel. Kevin gives us a lot, too. And, you know, does it make us better with Kevin or Keegan or HB coming off the bench just to start Keon? I don't know. I don't have that feel yet. You know, you can always bring Keon in the game early. Keon can still average 20, 25 minutes a game if need be. And so kind of like Malik, it can give us the luxury of, A, obviously finishing the way we want to finish, but playing different lineups based on the flow of the game, because we might go out there and the flow of the game might be in our favor with whoever starting. Okay, let's ride with that. Okay, they want to make a run or they want to do this. You know, you got Malik, you got Keon, you got Davion coming off the bench, and it just adds to what is already a very, very good bench.
So there's Mike Brown. Look, Mike Brown's also... Oops, sorry.
He's still going.
He's still going. Yeah. Settle down, Mike. Mike Brown's not going to come out in his post-game press conference after Kevin Huerter missed a game due to injury. Like, yeah, I'm going to start what Keon Ellis going for. Like, that's just not going to happen.
I would be a little nervous if that was the case.
Whether he starts, whether he doesn't start, Keon's role has to increase. He does everything that Mike Brown wants, he's been begging for with this team. How could you not want to play that? And to be honest, I don't think you lose anything offensively. He's shown the ability to hit the three.
Sure.
He can get to the basket. You know, he makes the right decisions. Anyway, he's got some stuff to think about.
Yeah, I think that is the best way to put it because I'm kind of more under the impression, like, why don't you just ride with this and then short leashes? And when I say short leashes, let's be honest, it's probably going to be for Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter at times if they're not getting things done on the defensive end and not providing on the offensive end, right? Like, if they're hot on the offensive end, they're going to probably find a way to stay on the floor. And that's why I think with that short leash situation, it could be a way for Keon Ellis to come off the bench and see bigger opportunities. I mean, look at Malik Monk. He's not a starter, but at times will play starter.
Yeah, I just think when you're trying to get off to better starts, and I think, as this team is currently constructed with the starting five we've seen most of the year, they can be very good offensively, right? But the challenge is you have two negative defenders with Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter most nights.
Yeah.
So
that's, I mean, most nights. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's definitely some things to think about for Mike Brown tonight. But dude, now at least you have another weapon, at least on your squad, that you feel comfortable. Keon Ellis played on a national TV game tonight. He played his ass off. Mm. The guy's playing in big minutes in important games in March.
I was talking to a national media person and they're like, I always knew Keon Ellis would be a name.
Yeah.
They were lying. Oh, but, like, it's just great to... It's one of those things where I think for some people, just like you said on the Discord or on Reddit, like, are we, you know, looking at this through a different lens, being around the Kings, covering the Kings? And it's like, once again, just look at the numbers and look at the style.
Yeah, yeah.
And look at the wins.
It makes so much sense. And
yeah.
Look, we don't know the full extent, again, of Herter's injury. Is it something that's going to keep him out a week? You know, is it something he's going to come back sooner? I don't know. Who the hell knows with contusions? You know, if he misses the next game and Keon plays well and the Kings are competitive or win or whatever, like that's the pressure is just going to be on even more to be like, maybe we just keep this rolling, you know, especially if the guys in the locker room are digging it. Fox mm-hmm. is digging it. If like they're just playing some of their best defensive basketball. Look, it's a tough conversation to have for sure, but it's definitely something that you could be talking about in the future. What else should we talk about with this game?
Okay, we pretty much went down. What?
De'Aaron Fox, huh?
Yeah, okay.
De'Aaron Fox off to a really slow start in this one. I felt like early the Kings weren't pushing enough. I felt like they were really playing slow. The pace went up as the game went on, and I thought De'Aaron, especially in that second half, was nasty.
Yeah, it was like he understood the situation and what he needed to do. And he started being more aggressive on the defensive end, which I think helped him on the offensive end. I love seeing that he only attempted 5 threes, made one of them, right? 1 of 5 from 3-point land. But again, around that number tells me like, you're not just settling. And on a second night of a back-to-back, wasn't sure what we were going to get. We got 9 of 20 from the field, but then you look down the line, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, mm-hmm. right? So that, to me, is him getting to the paint, making things happen, finding the open man.
I'm pulling up his shot chart as you were just talking to see his full night. He had 6 points in the paint, so kind of a low number, but 2-point field goal attempts, 8 of 15, 1 of 5 from 3. He's 9 of 20 overall, mm-hmm. 21 points. He had some great mid-range looks tonight.
Yeah.
And he was creating some awesome shots. He had that one behind the back with the dribble on Jackson Hayes, creating some space, that nice little floater, some great takes to the basket.
It's funny, looking at his shot chart even there, I was like, I thought some of those mid-range shots were deeper. You know, I thought that they were just like in the touching the paint.
Little 20-footer.
No. Yeah.
Had one from the right elbow, a couple 20-footers, then inside the paint, right outside the paint. Mm. He got to his spots at times, and I felt like as the game went on, it really, really got going for him. So a strong night for De'Aaron.
Yeah.
Especially on the second night of a back-to-back. And, I loved this game.
The offensive rebounding, you take a look at the 9 versus the Lakers, 7 offensive rebounds, but the biggest difference is the 9 offensive rebounds for the Kings led to 16 second opportunity points, where for the Lakers, only led to 4.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
Kings also had 16 fast break points, the Lakers 6. The Lakers like getting out and pushing, especially when they force turnovers. That wasn't as big of a problem in this game for Sacramento, so... Dude, just a big time win.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah. I felt it. I was saying this when you were getting Carlin early on in the podcast. And I don't like being petty. There's something awful that the Lakers and Lakers fans bring out of me. I was so petty and gross on the post game show. As they were leaving, I was going, bye bye. But like on the show. Bye, all the yellow jerseys.
The
like,
only time I think as time has gone, my hatred toward the Lakers has diminished.
I thought mine did. Mine's like childhood hatred.
For sure, mine too. There was one stretch where these Lakers fans were leaving and some Kings fans were jawing at them, and the Lakers fans were pointing at the banners. These kids must have been like 17. I'm like, let's tap the brakes, please. You barely know who Kobe Bryant is, okay? You don't know Shaq. Like, if you have like a fresh LeBron jersey, you're not. Let's relax. That's my thing.
Be nice.
Relax.
Be nice.
Tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you need windows, you trust the experts at Northwest Exteriors. They've been presenting our podcast all year long. We appreciate their support. So. Go to their website, trustnorthwest.com. Get a quote. Windows are a game changer, Morgan.
They really are, and especially in here, like I mentioned, when we had the fog machine going off, they hold in everything. Well, what they really do hold in that can benefit you is the heat in the winter and the cold in the summers, right? You want to make sure your whole house is staying cool. And if it's not, maybe you should check out your windows. It's probably not your AC. Trust me, because that was my problem. I didn't even know it. Oh, and it saved me a lot of money so far. Oh, and it's made my house look absolutely beautiful.
Well, Morgan, why don't you sing the jingle, huh?
Simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast.
Hit it.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Who is your player of the game? The chat was voting in this.
Okay.
The options in the chat. Harrison Barnes, 23 points, 7 made threes. Sabonis, 17 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists. Keon Ellis, 14 points and 3 steals. Or Keegan Murray with a double-double, who had 19 points, 11 rebounds, also had 2 steals.
I know mine.
Yeah?
I really like the one. I think I'm going to kind of follow the chat, and I go with Harrison Barnes. It's a big game. He stepped up, knocked down his shots, especially when LeBron was like, shoot it. And he's like, okay.
42% of the voters say Harrison Barnes. So who is a rock and soul player of the game?
Yeah!
HB, the Black Falcon. Yeah.
Oh, and he had a nice dunk.
Oh.
Yep.
Dude, he blew by Anthony Davis.
Yes, he did.
Got up. You don't see that all the time from HB, but he still has it in him. It was a good outing for him. And I even thought he had some really solid defensive moments battling LeBron James.
Absolutely.
And then LeBron's like, I'm not going to guard him. Fine. He's going to bang some threes in your face.
Burn.
Our rock and soul player of the game. Check out Rock and Soul Diner just 6 blocks away from G1C. What about your moment of the night?
Well, I think my moment was Sabonis hitting 80 in the face, throwing it down, and just
dude
walking away.
I mean,
pumped.
That was nasty.
And I don't like, I'm not like, oh, you should be violent or anything. Like, I'm not about that life. But it was just like, it defined what this game was. 10-0 against Anthony Davis, dominating him once again in this matchup. And that was like a defining moment.
It was a defining moment because this Kings team, maybe over the years, has been known, they're soft. They don't play with physicality.
Yes.
And they've had that rap. And Sabonis like, no, I'm going to play physical. And he went after AD on that play. Watching the replay, I'd have to look at it again, and maybe I'm being a homer on this. I feel like AD sold it. There's definitely contact.
There was contact.
It was a physical-ass play, and he went and got it. Go do something about it. And then he was snarling while AD was on the ground. Sabonis was jacked tonight.
Well, also, why didn't anyone on the Lakers roster get mad if really something did happen?
Yeah.
And is it because AD goes down a lot? Like, or maybe they don't have that spirit? I don't know. I'm not watching Lakers every single night, so I don't know that answer. I do have one more of, like, overall Sharif Jewelers moment of the game, and that would be Keon Ellis just starting once again and being now 6-0 as a starter.
We've spent a lot of time talking about Keon Ellis the last, you know, 5 games, it feels like. Whether being on TV or the podcast. These are the type of moves that if you hit on them, they change your team big time. Because you got Keon Ellis as an undrafted player. He was a two-way guy, and you just converted him to a contract, a guaranteed deal. That's a team-friendly deal. And so this allows you so much more flexibility when you can find someone that can contribute at his level. If he can keep this up, I think defensively he definitely can.
For sure.
then you just absolutely hit a home run. This is huge. A guy that is going to be on a team-friendly deal.
How many times have we talked about this is what we've wanted to see with G League guys through the Stockton King system, right? It's like, are you trying to get guys that just like work out in the G League? Mm-hmm. Or are you trying to get guys where they can actually develop within your system and become an NBA player?
So he makes $683,000 the rest of this year. And then next year, $2.1 million. And then a team option for 2025 for $2.3 million.
Okay, now.
If this is a guy that could potentially start for you and give you 30 minutes a night of great defense and hit open threes.
24 years
old. $2 million?
Mm-hmm.
And in this climate of the new salary cap where you get punished big time with all the apron and all the taxes, these are the moves you have to hit on.
And he's in the same age range. Huge. Same age range as most guys on the squad. So I'm here for it. I'm down for it.
Yeah. And I love the story. He's a great, great guy too. I'm really happy for the work he's put in. So it's awesome. Brandon in the chat says it's time to recognize how well Monty has found talent as well as our player development. Yeah, dude, Keon Ellis is a success story for them. I mean, he spent last year in the G League and they put the ball in his hands a lot, tried to develop his guard skills. He played great defense in the G League. He hit the three efficiently in the G League. But there's always a different level when you go up to the next level. And now he's doing it here.
And it is so funny, too, after wins, how, you know, our conversations are this. And it's more like, okay, this is great. It doesn't mean that the flaws still aren't there. Or like if you are upset that moves weren't made at the trade deadline or whatever for those tweaks. But these tweaks that Mike Brown is making with what he has on the roster, I am here for it.
Also, we didn't shout this out. When Monk went down, Chris Duarte came in, made a couple of nice defensive plays, hit a couple of threes. And he comes in and plays just 8 minutes. He finishes with 6 points. That was good to see him. I thought Alex Len had some nice contests at the rim. He had a couple of steals, too. He had one really nice contest on LeBron where he fouled him. But it's like, yeah, make that dude earn it. Like, put him at the free throw line. The Lakers, by the way, were 17 of 22 at the free throw line. The Kings only got there 12 times in this game. Of 12. That's it.
That's what the Kings are getting.
75%. So that's down a little bit. I want that one more made three, but
that's okay.
Free throw would be nice.
I'll take that though. I'll still take that right now. But you're exactly right. I mean, just with where the Kings have been shooting at the free throw line in the last six games.
Thomas in the chat says, "I love that Deuce Amoah got to cover Keon Ellis before he was who he is now. Like watching someone grow before your eyes. Aww. It's one of my favorite things about doing G League games." Someone like Keon Ellis, seeing that success story, going back in the day, seeing Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, Naz Reid. There's plenty more that we got the chance to see them up close. And some you go, oh, yeah, they could play. Some you go, I don't know. And it's just cool. You know, these guys grind to get to the next level. It's so hard to get there, and then you got to stay. And it's really fun to see these players.
Yeah, some special journeys out there.
Next up for the Sacramento Kings, the Knicks come to town.
Yeah,
the Jaylen New Brunson. York Knicks. And this Knicks team just got OG Anunoby back. So we obviously know what kind of impact he can have. They play tomorrow against the Portland Trail Blazers, then a day off, and then they're in Sacramento. Coming into that Portland game, this is kind of an insane stat, especially in 2024. The Kings have held three straight opponents under 80 points.
Whoa.
They beat the banged up Sixers, who are in a mess right now without Embiid. They beat him 106-79. They lost to him 79-73. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
79-73.
Yeah.
In 2024. And then they beat the Magic 98-74. This is a great test for the Kings, a team that is going to play physical.
Very physical. They're
going to
bump
you. They're relentless. They're going to try to make you uncomfortable. They play hard. They get after
first
second chance
of the season too. It's like when you're like both teams have kind of figured themselves out a little bit more, hopefully by this time of the season, and you go, okay, what is this going to look like? So, I'm here for it. I'm excited.
My final thoughts on tonight. I love how this team is playing the last couple of games, and even in quarters where they're not hitting shots, like we saw in a little bit in the third quarter for stretches tonight and even the night before against Milwaukee, their defense kept them in this. And it's fun to see them play this engage. It's fun to see them, what they're capable of.
That's it. That's it. And especially what they're capable of putting together as a complete game, right? In four quarters. And even if there's lulls in those, it's not, it's like you said, Deuce, it's not these lulls where it's like 49-19 run for the other team. It's 8-0 run, Kings respond with a 6-0 run. Like, those things matter. Those second chance points matter. All the efficient shooting, the locked in defense, being engaged, even though you're facing adversity with guys being in and out, it all matters. And yes, to add to your final thought.
And to look at the standings at the end of it, Morgan, as it stands tonight, they're 38-27. They're in the sixth seed. They're tied with Phoenix, who's in seventh now, okay? The Suns take on the Celtics coming up tomorrow. The Kings are one game behind the Pelicans for the five spot. One game behind the Pelicans, so that's something to watch. The Mavs are a half game behind Sacramento in eighth. And with the win, Sacramento has a three-game lead on the Lakers, plus the tiebreaker, right? They beat them four times this year, so that's significant. The Kings also have a four-game lead on the Golden State Warriors, who are in the 10th spot, playing without Steph, and who lost tonight in Dallas without Steph and Draymond. There's opportunity. We know how fragile it is. We talk about being close to fifth. You're also close to ninth. You got to lock in, and hopefully you can build on this. I'm not acting like this season has turned around the last two games. We've all made the mistake this year.
Yep.
But we can also acknowledge the last two games, it's been pretty fun. They played the right way, and there's some major encouraging signs with how guys are playing right now.
Soak it in. Enjoy. Do not have expectations for the next game against the Knicks. I think more be open to anything, but as a basketball fan, yes, you should want and expect your team to come out ready. But really, with the ride that we've been on, are you going to have those expectations, I guess, is my point. I'm trying to, like without saying it, it's like, hey, don't have expectations. Just because just enjoy the ride. I don't know. Like, because this ride, the last two games, was so much more fun than Sunday's ride. And that's why Saturday I go, okay, I'm going to sign back up for the ride, pay for my ticket, and go on in. What kind of ride am I going to get? That's where I'm at.
I can't wait to see what's in store coming up when the Kings play the Knicks. Of course, we'll have content up until that point, so make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Appreciate everyone hanging out with us tonight. Comment on our stuff, like our stuff, share it. We appreciate you guys so much. We love you, but wait. Got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. Thanks for being here. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.